About the time you think everything's going fine, then the bottom drops out, right? But when the bottom drops out, God's there to catch you. You always have to remember that. He doesn't let you fall through a sinkhole and forget about you. Well, Father, this is your service. These are your people. They've come to dine with you, Father. They want to sit at your table this day. I'm asking you, Father God, to meet each and every need here. Take each and every person into your arms, Father God, and let them know how much you love them. And let them know you have not forsaken them. And Father, we just thank you for all that you've done and all that you're going to do. And I truly do thank you that your Holy Spirit is so evident in this place today. We thank you for your glory, Father. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, the angelic host. We thank you, Father God, that you have an open heaven over us, and we can come and go into the third heaven anytime we so desire. And Father, I just thank you for all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I'm just hearing, we are at a crossroads, per se. We've come into the deep things of God, but as we come into the deep things of God, we can't forget about those who are lost and undone. We can't, you know, just be going around bragging to ourselves of how much we're loved by God. We should do that. But in the process of doing that, we need to remember there are those who don't know the Father and are out there just wandering around lost and undone. Or there are some backslidden people out there that just don't know how to come back into the house of God. They're ashamed. They really truly don't know what's going on. And we just need to be holding all this up before the Father. You know, there's a young lady in my life who is really messed up. And I really get upset with her. And I was walking down the hallway the other day, and God said, turn around. And I turned around and looked, and she was bending over, doing something. And God said, do you see her as I see her? He says, she's bound and can't help herself. He said, what are you going to do about it? This is not a member of my family. But it is somebody that I've been really having a hard time with. Excuse me. And you know, when God said it to me, it just turned my heart around, my heart like did a flip-flop. And I looked at her through Jesus' eyes, and my whole demeanor about this person changed. And I started having compassion. And I felt the love of Christ, you know, leave me and go into her. And I'm asking you, so if God did that to me, I'm asking you, do you allow God to let you see people the way he sees them? And do you then allow God to use you to minister to them the way he wants them ministered to? I want you to really think about this. You know, I know we get hurt in a process of trying to help people. But Jesus did too, didn't he? And I know we all, and whenever God gives us an assignment, the devil's going to do everything he can to try to turn you against that person that God wants you to minister to. And I know we have well-meaning friends. We share too much of what we're going through. So it's our fault. And we have well-meaning friends who think they know what we should be doing, you know, and how we should be doing it. And if we just keep our mouths shut and not broadcast everybody about what we're going through, then God could do the works that he needs to do within the people. And in the meantime, you will grow. You will grow abundantly in the love of God. I mean, that's what God taught me this week, so. What has God taught you this week about ministering to other people? You know, the down and outers, because right now this is where God's at. He's ministering to the down and outers. And even if God tells you that somebody is not going to make heaven their home, that doesn't mean you stop pouring God's love into them. Because who knows what's going to happen at the last second. And if you throw them to the curb, are you going to be guilty of the one that threw them into the pits of hell? Did God throw you to the curb when you was messed up? Remember, God says, never forget from whence you came. And we know that the drug addicts, you know, the prostitutes and the alcoholics, it's bad out there. In my home alone, I have 3 alcoholics. And they don't make your life easy, but then God didn't say your walk with them would be easy, did he? He didn't say ministering to the lost would be easy, did he? And he didn't say everybody you minister to would be saved, did he? Think of all these things. We hope and we believe and have faith in God that some way, somehow, God's going to turn people around. If God has told you he's going to turn them around, then he's going to turn them around. So your job then to do is just pour love into them. Even though you're not getting anything back, just keep pouring love into them until one day you look up and they'll be a different person. I can just about believe that everybody that's listening here has somebody in their family line somewhere that's really messed up, and people are saying, drop them. And God's saying, no, I'm going to use you to love them into my kingdom. All right? So don't let people tell you how to run your life. If you don't want people to tell you how to run your life, then quit telling them about your life. And you just walk on quietly with God and let God change what he needs to change. All right? That song we sang, you know, we are broken within. And, you know, there's a lot in the body of Christ that's broken within. And you look at them, they're smiling at you, you know, and everything looks just great. But inside, their guts are being ripped right out of them. Isn't that what Jesus did? Even though he was going through what he was going through, he kept right on smiling and kept right on ministering. And nobody really knew what he was going through, not even his disciples. Only his Father in heaven knew. Because he knew that his disciples would not understand his walk with God. So he just went and talked to God all the time. That's why he went to the mountain. People are not going to understand your walk with God. Now just quit acting like they should, because they're not going to. And each one of our walks with God is entirely different than the other. And so you just have to walk out your walk the way God's telling you to walk it and keep going. I'm so glad that God has prophets in the land. You know, and God is doing great, mighty things right now. And he's using the prophets mightily and dreams. How many's having more dreams than you've ever had? Pay attention to your dreams and your visions, because God is showing you what's coming upon the land. I mean, you know, he gave me a vision. I couldn't tell you what it was because I forgot the minute I got fully awake. But that I was in the most beautiful place with God. People all around being saved. The music it sounded like music from heaven. But God is bringing in the harvest. And we're going to sing over those people. Just like that last song we sang. You know, come to the altar. Don't come to me. Come to the altar and let Jesus take care of whatever's going on in your life. This morning, God wants to talk about mighty warriors. And he says, this is God speaking, my people, we are running out of time. You still continue to sit on the sidelines and watch. I have been trying to grow you up, but some are not ready for that. Question, when will you be ready? Now, I want to explain something here. When I give a message, it doesn't just go here. It goes other places. And when I give a message here, there's people that have never come here before that might not have heard what you know. So you don't need to say, well, what have we done wrong now? No, just receive what God is saying to you. You need to refresh your course anyhow. right? All right, God says, children of the Most High God, I am calling upon you this day to come up hither. Come on, come up hither. Now listen to what he says. You are the ones I am pulling from the backside of the desert, and you are the ones I am using to display all my glory. You have suffered at the hands of the enemy over and over and over again, and still you keep pushing forward. There is no mountain so big that you won't plow through. You have determined in your heart of hearts that you are not going to stop. Now, isn't that exciting? You're sitting there going through more hell than anybody would ever know, and God's speaking these wonderful words over you. Romans 5:8 says, but God shows and clearly proves his own love for us by the fact that while we were still sinners, Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, died for us. God says, my love for you is undying. It is a love that will see you through the thick and thin of all things. My love is a love that no human can mimic. It is a love that covers all transgressions, and it is so vast that it covers the entire universe. It also covers the darkness over the universe. What does all that? God's love. And if you're professing to be just like Jesus, then you should have the same love inside of you, and that love should cover a multitude of sins. Now, we haven't been there, but we are there now, right? We're not judging one another anymore. We are not talking about another's sins, but we are praying for each other. And the love of Christ that flows through us is covering a multitude of sins. God said, yes, I am fully, totally, and completely in love with the remnant ones that have supercharged themselves with my presence. Isn't that awesome? Yes, I am fully, totally, and completely in love with the remnant ones that have supercharged themselves. You did that yourself. You supercharged yourself with God's presence. God said, they have come up hither. Now listen to what he says here. And they have wrapped themselves round about me. And they have said, no devil in hell shall separate me from my heavenly Father. Not rain, storm, nor flood shall separate me from heavenly things. Romans 8:38 says, and I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation, will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. That was Romans 8, 38, and 39. Now, if you don't believe that God loves you, you need to go home and just keep reading that until it gets into your spirit and you understand that God truly does love you. God said, your perseverance is something the world cannot understand. See that? They look upon you and shake their heads. They think you're lost out in space someplace with nothing to look forward to. If only they knew. If only they could comprehend what is the height and the depth and the breadth of my unfailing love for those who are standing the test of time. Those who grasped hold of the cross, vowing never to let go. And Ephesians 3:17 through 19 says, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. If you don't have love, God can't use you. If you say, well, I can't love this person, but I love this person. No, you have to love everybody. I didn't say you had to go to supper with them. But you have to love them as Christ loves them, as Christ loved you when you were messed up. Then God says the angelic beings are singing a new song over the remnant ones. I thought that was sort of neat. They are singing hallelujah over them, and with the melodies of heaven, they are pushing them forward into the vast unknown of the kingdom of light. The angels are the heaven is singing over us, and by their worship, they are pushing us forward. See that? In Luke 2:13, it says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy." They are singing over us. Can we make a little cooler in here, somebody? Thank you. All right, God said this experience in the kingdom of light will bring them forth empowered. This experience in the kingdom of light with the angels singing over us will bring them forth empowered from on high, and they shall defeat the enemy on all sides. They shall bring soul after soul in the kingdom of light. These are warriors that have fought every battle that can be fought and came out swinging, singing the tunes of Hosanna. The entire world will soon see the outcome of what happens when you serve the heavenly kingdom and let your light shine for all the world to see. Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." God said, "They shall be soldiers like no others. Their swords will shine bright in the battle against darkness. The light of heaven will shine over them, and the battle slot will be won every time." Read that again. "They shall be soldiers," that's you guys, "like no others. Their swords will shine bright in the battle against darkness. The light of heaven will shine over them, and the battle slot will be won every time." These warriors are not looking for fortune nor fame. They are just warring in a war of total victory. And you find that in Joel chapter 2. Too many are in the body of Christ looking for fame. They want everybody to know who they are and how important they are and how anointed they are. And that's not God at all. You should just be about the Father's business. Don't let the Father's telling you to do it. And quit worrying about how important you are. You know, God's a little bit sick and tired of that. You didn't see Jesus going around bragging about who he was, did you? He just went around about doing God's work. God will exalt you. You need to quit exalting yourself. God said, "Are you part of this mighty army? Can you say, I am the redeemed of the Lord, and go forward sharing the gospel of love, peace, and grace to a lost and dying world?" And Isaiah 51:11 says, "The Lord God says, and the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing to Zion. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." I looked up about singing in heaven, and then I was reading about the songs of Zion. And they say that in the Bible that God would have a set of songs, and they would, like they went to battle, you just sang this set of songs over and over and over again, you know, or if let's just say praise, and you just sang this set of songs over and over again. And I thought about, God told us a while back, there's going to be a shift in the music. And you know what, sometimes it seems like we sing the same songs over and over again, but when I'm doing a song service, that's the only ones God gives me. And so see, and like when a lot of times when we're in battle, he gives me these jumpy songs, you know, so we can fight. Now for this morning service, he gave us these songs because he wants us to know about the love of God and just fall in love with him all over again. And I forgot what the night is, but you know, God always has a set of songs. Now, you might be a worshiper, and all you want is worship songs. But God knows that he has warriors in the house of God, and they need to sing fighting songs. All right? So let's not be fighting over what kind of songs we should be singing. If we're listening to the Spirit of God, he's going to show us what songs to be singing. All right, where am I at? Harvest is the shout on the lips of this mighty army. This is you guys, you know, all right? Bring in the harvest of souls. So many are in the valley of decision, and they need rescuing from the evil one. How many of you know how bad the drug addiction is and the alcoholism is in the world today? These are souls that God's talking about. They need to be redeemed. They need to be brought into the house of God. But until we become, and God's saying we're warriors, so until the body of Christ becomes a true warrior for God and is willing to go out there and fight the enemy on any front, this harvest is not going to be brought in. But God has already trained us, and this harvest is going to be brought in, and the harvest, bringing the harvest in, is going to begin now. But you must stay your course. You must not get off course. You must stay strong in the Lord, because God's going to be with you to fight your battles. All right, then he said. Then God says, as you go forth, sing the songs of Zion. Is that right, Matt? Okay, Joel 3:14 said, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. You need to understand, if you look at the bulletin front and back, you know, God, he always gives me what to put on a bulletin, and even inside if I write articles. We are preparing the way for the second coming of Jesus Christ. I don't know when he's going to come. You all know that. The Bible says so. Only God knows. But I do know one thing, that he's coming soon. Soon might be 50 years from now. You know what I'm saying? And so this is what God is doing right now. He's getting the world prepared for the second coming of Jesus Christ. This is why it's important we bring in the harvest now, because the harvest has to be brought in before the second coming of Jesus. All right? You guys, I don't care if you belong here, or I don't care if you just come every now and then. You come because God has something you need to hear, so you can take it to wherever you come from, and so the whole body of Christ is fed a fresh manna from heaven. Now, it doesn't matter, you know, where you go to get your fresh manna, as long as Spirit-filled church, as long as you know that people walk in holiness and purity of heart and righteousness, get the manna that God wants you to have, and then you take it to other people. You're not supposed to get it for yourself. Too many people get a great revelation. They hug it to their bosom. They don't want to share that with anybody else, because that's why Catherine Kuhlman had her heart attack and died. She was upset with God because he gave somebody else the same healing ministry that she had. At least that's what she wrote in her book that I read. And so God just took her on home. She didn't want to share her gifting with anybody. She wanted to be the number one healer. We can't have that, saints. You can't minister to everybody in the world. You know, God needs many ministers to send forth. And he needs many personalities, different personalities, because not everybody has the same personality. Now, there's some people that you'll minister to that I can't, because you're the personality they need, you know, to hear what you have to say. You know, things I say would knock them off their feet, you know, dead. But God would give you the same words, but they would be in a way that they'd be able to receive them. Okay? And God told me when I was he had me open the church that he was going to send ministers in. And that didn't mean you'd be ordained, but I found that you are some are ordained. He was going to send ministers in here, and he was going to use me to teach them. And then he was going to send them out and start their own churches. So that's why I do what I do the way I do it, because that's the way God tells me to do it. All right. So you need to know what God's calling you to do. And then let God speak to you and tell you, you know, sometimes I'm hurting so bad, you know, with personal things I'm dealing with. But yet, you know, I have to sit down and God, and just like this, God just starts dictating the service, you know. You have to push yourself aside. Your flesh is dead, right? And you have to get fresh manna from God to feed your people. Are you understanding this? And too many people aren't pushing their flesh aside, and they're too busy pitying themselves, and they're not getting fresh manna to feed to the people so the people can grow. All right? Some pastors, you know, don't want the people to grow. They really don't. Because after all, if you grow, then you'll be better than they are. Remember Joyce Myers and her minister, her pastor? You know, she did a Sunday school class, and everybody wanted her Sunday school class and bought her tapes more than the pastors. And he said he was upset about it at first, but, you know, he got over that. And look where Joyce Myers is at. You know, we just need to be able to live with one another. you know, let God use who he wants to, when he wants to, any way he wants to. And we're supposed to walk in love, right? Come on. Okay, where am I at? As you go forth, is that where I'm at? God said, as you go forth, sing the songs of Zion, hold your banners high, never for one instant allow the enemy to a place to intrude into our private time together. See that? Never for one instant allow the enemy a place to intrude into our private time together. Make sure there's only space for you and I in our intimate time. Amen. When I was writing this, I thought about Grace and Barbara, who live alone and can do exactly this. But when you're running a house with 10 adults in it, two small kids, where do you find your private time? See, you understand, but you have to find it. But my two young boys, they understand that I have to study, so they let me study. They're good at that. Grown-ups are not. Big kids are. Isaiah 35:10, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. Do we come forth singing? Do we have everlasting joy on our head? You know, I sit in the office back there just to sort of meditate before service, and people come in and I don't hear much singing. You know, and I don't hear much laughter. I hear a shuffle, shuffle, shuffle. There's a few come in there just all bubbly, but mostly it's shuffle, shuffle, shuffle. But what did it say here? And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. We won't come into the house of the Lord being sorrowful and complaining and all, you know. We'll come into the house of the Lord totally free, even though there's still business going on as usual. We will have finally understood what God is telling us and come into the house of the Lord with singing. God said, close out the things of this bizarre, dark world and come into my glorious light as we commune one with the other. My child, only time will tell of what transpired as we commune together in total intimacy. Now just listen to this. All of heaven is open to my children at all times. I will never close the open heaven I placed over you. Mom, many things will transpire in the days ahead, but one thing is for certain. My love for you will never change, and our intimate times are everlasting. You know, the nice lesson is about love, too, so I had to sort of, I'm thinking this is going to be in here, and it's not. So tonight you'll get what he had about love tonight. But I ran across this, and I thought this is neat. This is a love letter from God. To my sons and daughters, my unfailing love, to my dear child. To my child, the apple of my eyes, I formed you in your mother's womb, and I know your frame. I created you in an amazing and wonderful way. I love you with an everlasting and unconditional love, and with my unfailing love, I have drawn you to myself. You can find that in Jeremiah 31:3. He says, God said, my love for you is not dependent on your race, marital status, social status, financial liberty, education, or achievement. Neither does it depend on your feelings nor your good works. My love for you is a function of who I am, because I am love. And that's 1 John 4:8. And he gave that to his dear child, all right? Now, to my beloved friend, to you, my friend, I laid down my life for you. There is simply no greater love than this. And that's John 15:13. My love for you is total, an endless love that knows no boundaries. Its width covers every breadth of your mistakes and experiences. It reaches out to the whole world. The length is infinite before you were born until eternity. Its depth reaches to the depths of fear, despair, and discouragement. The height rises to the heights of your celebration and elation. You find that in Ephesians 3:18-19. Nothing can ever compare to this endless love, my friend. All right, now, an expression of God's love. Your unfailing love is better than life itself. How I praise you. Psalm 63:3. Now he's talking to his eternally chosen one. To you, my chosen one, even before the creation of the world, I loved and chose you to be mine. And you find that in Ephesians 1:4. This unfailing love casts out every form of fear. Fear of the unknown, fear of the future, and fear to step out. You find that in 1 John 4:18. Put your trust in my love, in this unfailing love. Bask in this endless love. Rest in this agape love, for I am with you always. I am your God. I will strengthen and help you. Sincerely, your Father, Friend, and Savior. And that was God speaking. This young man wrote it down as God spoke it. Right now, what God has done, he's trying to get us to understand how much the depth of his love for us. And until we understand the depth of his love for us, we're never going to be able to take that kind of love to a lost and dying world. Never. Never, never. Remember what God said. He's going to ask you, did you learn to love? And how many Christians do you know that don't love? They love in word only or deed. You know, they don't love the way Christ has called his church to love. We have to put all the past aggravations, I'm hearing God say, behind us. And we have to forgive and forget and then love the unlovable and move forward. I'm just about getting into my evening message. God dictated the evening too. But how is your love walk? How truly is your love walk? How sincere are you about loving the unlovable, forgiving those who have hurt you over and over and over again? God's saying some of you debate love. You can't debate love, he said. You just have to love. You know, when you debate love, well, God, you know what they've done to me. No. You know, God could look at you and say, do you know what you've done to me? Even just now. Do you know what you've done to me? But oh, we're so pious, we think we've never done anything to hurt God. We think we've always been just God himself, just about, so perfect. And we hurt God all the time because we don't love. Is loving easy? It should be, but it isn't. Because we live in a dark, degraded world where there's so much animosity against God and so much darkness everywhere. More so in families than even outside. And why is it more so in families? Because right now God is working with families. He's pulling families together, and Satan hates that. So he's going to work twice as hard to make sure that you, a true loving child of God, is not going to be able to forgive those in your family who have hurt you. Some of you can say, yeah, that is true. You can say amen to that. Because it is true. And you really have to work sometimes really hard and overtime until you get it right with God about that person. And what you have to do is just keep taking that situation to God until God cleanses you of all of the animosity that you have towards that person. Now, do you want that person to go to hell? I hope not. But do you know what? If you can't love them, you're going to go there. God, if you're not loved, you can't go to heaven. You know, we strive so hard to go to heaven because we don't want to live in the darkness, right? Then why do you think God would allow you in heaven if you would have aught against your brother? You really need to think about this really hard. I went through this when I was very first born again. God really, my poor pastor, I about drove her crazy. Because if you did me wrong, I wanted you in hell. And that's the way I was when I was first born again. You know, after I lived all my life being who I am, and then this person lived all their life being who they are, which wasn't good. And now you're saying if we both died right now, that person would go to heaven too. Absolutely. I didn't want to hear that. I didn't. I'm being honest with you, and I'm quite sure some of you don't want to hear that either. But aren't you glad? After a couple months, she finally got me to understand, and I was so glad. Then I didn't want anybody to go to hell, and you know. And I was so glad that she worked with me and brought me through that, and taught me that I had to love the unlovable. That after all, I'm not all perfect, and I hurt people too. You know, but we think we're all perfect and we don't hurt anybody. But yeah, we do. Knowingly and unknowingly. You know, it's just as we want God to spread His grace over us, we're supposed to spread God's grace over others. All right, God's just right now saying the altar is open for those who want to improve your love walk. So if you want to improve your love walk, if you know it's not 100% right, then you know what? I don't think our love walk is ever going to stay 100% right. Because the enemy's going to come at us every day trying to get us to get out of our love walk. That's one of the battles we're just going to have to fight. But we shall. But today, God just wants to give you an extra little oomph so that you can go forth and be able to love those that you couldn't love before.